Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
This is Palm Sunday. We've been journeying this entire Lenten season through the Gospel of Mark. And we're at that point in that gospel narrative on Jesus' ministry, where Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem. This is a pretty powerful story. It's maybe a familiar story to most of us in here. Some of you, maybe a first-time introduction to that. My guess is we're going to look at this little pericope from a very unique angle that hopefully will shed a new light on our understanding of an old story that is more akin to what Jesus' call upon our lives, particularly in our Life Change program here at Neighbors of Hope, and impact your journey towards life transformation. Right? That's my hope. As a neighbor of hope. All right, if I could get someone to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, that would be fantastic.
Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, gentlemen, first impressions, first thoughts, what jumps out at you? Give it to me.
Well,
yeah, it is radio, gentlemen. That implies we're going to talk.
Okay. Jesus is coming in on this parade with, he basically on chariots, but in a cheaper way.
Okay, so all right, let's say, I mean, you made reference to a parade, and
then we got Pilate.
So let's see if we can paint the picture. What's the parade look like? When you say parade that Jesus is in, what does that look like? What did Mark? What are some of the characters in the parade? What are some of the artifacts being used in the parade? Oh, okay. Now everybody's talking. All right, one at a time.
Ground, palm trees.
It's a big group of peasants and farmers and just come along, man.
Okay, so it talks about people. So we got people lining. It may have been a whopping 10 or 12. It could have been, 10 or 1,200. We don't know how many, right? But there are, shall we call them, like any parade, people on the curb. The people on the curb are somehow or another participating, right? It says they're waving, we call them palm branches, primarily because we know in agrarian culture such as that, there were palm trees, palm reeds, things like that. But it doesn't tell us explicitly in this story that it's palms, right? But we do call it Palm Sunday. We associate it. That's fine. So they're waving palm branches. What else? What else is in this parade?
A donkey.
What's a parade if you don't have the county sheriff posse going on? The little pooper scoopers behind them, right? I mean, I don't know if they had a pooper scooper here, but all right, we have the livestock. Right.
Jesus was the first one to riot through.
Okay. Anything else?
People laying down their cloaks.
All right, people are kind of making some sacrifices. I mean, this is an interactive type parade. In doing so, the surrendering of their garments is an expression of humility as well as celebration. Right? What do you think they're celebrating? What do we celebrate on Palm Sunday? What's the whole point today?
New way.
Okay, how so?
Well, according to the prophets of the coming king came in on a donkey.
Okay, yeah, do you have that right in front of you, Zechariah?
Yeah.
9? So we know that these participants in the parade, whether they're observers or actually engaged in it, are probably of Jewish descent. So they're probably familiar with the prophet Zechariah. They've been waiting over 400 years for a Messiah to show up. We know back in chapter 9, this is where, or the end of 8, where Peter makes his announcement that you are the Messiah, right? You're the one we've been waiting for. He's now entering Jerusalem. They're probably getting really excited that our Messiah is finally going to take over. We're going to kick out Rome, no more oppression. We're going to clean up the temple, because it says he goes right straight to the temple. They're excited. We've been oppressed and exploited for a long time. We're finally going to inherit the promised land that God has always promised us, and all these occupiers and religious deserters are going to be, we're going to clean house. Right? That's something to get excited about. They would know that he's the one because of the way that Mark describes this. If this is the way it went down, it would echo what Zechariah said. So, Mark, could you please read that for us?
Sure. It says, "The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See the king. See your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth."
Now, if you've been kind of a people that's been oppressed by, like, the Roman Empire, and maybe even religiously through the religious establishment, as far as we've learned journeying through Jesus through Mark's gospel, that he reaches out to the outcast, the overlooked, the leftovers, all that kind of stuff, right? Whether they be lepers, hemorrhaging women, et cetera, et cetera. All right? There's this idea that newness is on the horizon, all right? That this oppression. Now, Zechariah's reference to things like the battle bow, which is bow and arrow, right? Spear, you could think of. Chariot, which is an instrument of war. This is, according to Zechariah, when this cat comes running into Jerusalem, Zion, right, and is going to establish peace in Jerusalem, that's going to be eliminated. Now, if you've been experiencing this type of exploitation and oppression for 400 years, you think you're going to rejoice? Might you get a little excited? All right, listening audience, they are nodding their heads yes.
So,
yes. Oh, all right, yeah, we are on radio, gentlemen.
So they knew beforehand that Christ was coming.
Well, they knew a Messiah. Christ is just comes from Christos, which is the Greek of what we translate from Hebrew, Messiah. It just means the anointed one. It's a messianic expectation that comes out of the prophets, the major prophets. So for roughly a little over 400 years, they've been waiting for this one. They are now, at least a small band, some of these people are saying, he's the one.
Yeah, so I was saying, like, they already were prepared, like,
because they were
waiting. Putting their cloaks, yeah. So they knew beforehand that he was coming into town because they were like the parade, like everybody was on the sides and they was waiting, and then they started spreading their palms. So they had a forehand message that he was coming.
Well, we've made reference before that when Mark's gospel is kind of the secret gospel. Shh, don't tell anybody. I just healed you, right? And he shows up in the next town, they're all waiting for him.
Yeah.
Right? So this is no different. I mean, the idea of trying to control PR is not working for Jesus. Okay? Not Mark's gospel, it doesn't. But his intent is like, I need to get to Jerusalem. All right. Before we went on the air, we also talked about another parade. Could anybody please share with our listening audience, what's the other parade that's taking place?
Pilate coming down.
Yeah, Pilate's coming. He's marching in because Jesus is entering Jerusalem during the week of Passover. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of Jews kind of entering into Jerusalem to celebrate this annual event of Passover. This is at the heart of Judaism. This is the Exodus experience. They've been practicing this for millennia. All right? This is huge. Well, Pilate, you know, he lives over in Caesarea. He's like, oh gosh, I got to go into Jerusalem for it. This could be a madhouse. But we need to tighten up security. That's why even outside they had the Fort Antonio, which were towers that were built outside the temple so that the Roman soldiers could be up top, look down into the courtyards of the temple to make sure there's peace. So when this, later when he goes in there and cleanses the temple, they see all that. Right? What else about this parade? So this is the character, and so Pilate represents
military
and Rome. Right? Which means Pilate also represents an imperial theology.
The oppression.
And what is that imperial theology, do you recall?
He's the son of God.
Yeah, Caesar is the son of God. We see that even in the coin. Right? Show me a coin, well, you know, give it to Caesar. If you think Caesar is God, give to Caesar what's Caesar. Or if you think Yahweh is God, you need to give God what's God's. Pick your God. That's what it boils down to.
But Pilate seeks victory through war.
Okay, so we have this military parade. So we got to imagine, you know, we've seen movies and things. So you've got him on his little white horse with his little blanket that goes over and the little tassels on the bottom of it. And he's got a couple other soldiers carrying banners. And this is a military parade. And he's got all the soldiers with their hardware, right? Their swords and spears and everything marching behind him. They're going into, this is crowd control. But it represents Roman oppression, economic exploitation, and then you have the temple religious establishment in Jerusalem supports this. They justify, so you have a religious justification. This identifies a domination system. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is to confront that. There's a battle. There are two parades. They both enter from opposite sides of the city. Mark is pretty good at expressing that there's going to be this confrontation with the authorities. Right. And somehow or another, these people are getting excited about that. How are we doing with our enthusiasm? How are we doing with our confrontation? How are we doing, and we've talked about for Mark, it's emphatic about the way. Right? The hodos. Prepare the way. I am the way. I mean, Jesus speaks on and on. There's a way. There's a road. There's a way that we do this, that we progress. And that way always leads to Jerusalem. That way led for Jesus. It's the way that led. When we get to Jerusalem, we confront authorities. What else does Jesus experience in Jerusalem? That's part of the way.
Death
and
resurrection.
If you want resurrection, gentlemen, if you want to find new life here at Neighbors of Hope, you're going to commit your life to this way, well, you've got confrontation coming and you've got death coming. Not necessarily in a literal sense, but in the sense that Jesus talked about as the people who are sacrificing their personal belongings with their cloaks, right? But it's humility. He's humble. He's on a donkey, right? We need to put to death our ego, our greed, our selfishness, our pride. They have to die if you're going to have new life. This is Palm Sunday. We should get excited that Jesus is still alive and still calling us to be participants on this way. And gentlemen, my prayer on this Palm Sunday is that you will embrace that way so that you can find the new life that you came to Neighbors of Hope for. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and, of course, our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.